Welcome back to the Learn English podcast, the podcast teaching English in context so you can learn naturally. On this podcast, we like to talk about American culture, history, and of course, vocabulary when it comes to English. On today's episode, I want to focus on the English vocabulary part and talk about some idioms and sayings that we use here a lot in the United States and of course, everywhere in the English-speaking world. Idioms and phrases can be hard to understand. If you're not a native speaker, it can be confusing when you hear an idiom to understand what it means. You might be able to recognize the words in the idiom, but not necessarily the meaning. So, on today's episode, I want to talk about some idioms that involve the word mind. Your mind is where you keep your thoughts and ideas. And on today's episode, we're going to talk about these idioms that involve the word mind. So, if you're ready to lose your mind with these mind-blowing idioms, then follow along because we're about to begin. A reminder before we get started to look at the description of this podcast episode. There you will find a vocabulary list of the words and phrases that I use in this episode. You can take this vocabulary list, you can start learning these words, and hopefully start using them in conversation yourself. Now, a little bit about the mind. There is a lot of different idioms with mind. These are just a few of them that I'm going to talk about today. But they are all referring to where you keep your thoughts and ideas, a way of talking about your brain. Just remember that when we're going through these idioms because that will kind of help you when you're trying to figure out what these idioms mean. So we're going to start with the first one. And the first one is lose your mind. So, lose your mind means that you're going crazy or that you're acting irrationally. You're acting in a way that doesn't make any sense. You're acting in a way that is not normal. It can also be used to describe something when someone is kind of frustrated or feel like they're getting confused by something. And if they feel like they're having trouble keeping track of their thoughts or an item, they could use this idiom, lose their mind. The phrase itself dates back to the 17th century and has to do with this idea of feeling like you're not in control of your thoughts, like you're not in control of your brain. How you can use this in a sentence, let's say if you have a friend who decides to quit their job and travel around the world for a year and sell their house and all their possessions, you can say, "You've lost your mind." That means what you are doing is irrational. What you're doing is crazy. It's abnormal, and I don't agree with it. So if you're telling someone in a negative context that they lost their mind, that means that you are disagreeing or not accepting their behavior. You could also do this with your child, for example. Let's say you have a teenager who stays out really late at night and they don't call you and you don't know where they are. You can say that they have lost their mind. They are acting in a way that is irrational. You can also use this in a less judgmental, in a more funny or comedic way. So, if you get frustrated by something, let's say you're driving somewhere and there's a lot of traffic on the freeway, you're stuck in traffic, you're moving very, very slowly, and it takes you 2 hours more than you thought it was going to take to get to whatever your destination is, you could say that this traffic is making me lose my mind. That means the traffic is making you frustrated, it's making you upset, it's making it so you can't really think very clearly. This isn't as judgmental. You're not putting a judgment on someone like you were in the other two examples we did, but you're saying that you feel frustrated by the situation. Also, if you are trying to look for an object, let's say that you were trying to leave your house, you're trying to get on the freeway and get stuck in that traffic, and you're holding your car keys, or you thought you were holding your car keys. But then you're looking for your car keys and you don't know where your car keys are. You look all over your house, you look in your backpack or your purse or your pockets, your car, everywhere, and you cannot find these keys. You can say, "I'm losing my mind." That doesn't mean that you're really acting irrationally or crazy, but it means that you are feeling like you can't keep track of your possessions, like your thoughts are not helping you out. You can't remember where you put something. So in this case, again, it's judgmental. It's not saying that you're acting irrationally, but it's saying that you are losing track of something that you should be able to remember. You're not able to remember something that you really want to. In this case, you can't remember where you put your keys. So lose my mind, if you're saying it to someone, if you're telling someone that they lost their mind, that usually means that you're not agreeing with what they're doing. You think they're acting in an irrational way. If you say it about yourself, it could maybe mean the same thing, but usually you say it when you're frustrated or when you can't find something. Our next idiom is mind over matter. This idiom gets said a lot, especially when it comes to difficult physical tasks. What this idiom means is that the power of your thoughts can help you overcome physical challenges. You hear this, like I said, a lot if you think of CrossFit or some type of mud run or the military where people have to go to basic training and do a bunch of physical activity. Someone who's running a marathon is another example. That would be a case of mind over matter. Your body is exhausted, you feel physically very tired, but you can will yourself to do the activity. You can tell yourself in your mind, in your brain, that you are going to do this particular physical activity. And even though you feel like quitting, even though your body is tired, you're going to keep doing it anyways, and you're going to be successful. That would be mind over matter. Your mind can help you overcome these obstacles. Let's do an example here. Let's say you are running a marathon, your knees hurt, your feet hurt, you are exhausted and you want to quit, but you know you're almost there and you know you can keep going, and you force yourself to keep going and you finish the race. Afterwards, you can tell your friends, you can tell your family members, running a marathon is so hard, but with mind over matter, you can do it. That means that of course, you were struggling during the marathon. Of course, it was difficult to do, but you forced yourself. You had the willpower. You had the thoughts in your mind that you're going to finish, and you did it. Very similar to this is to put your mind to something. So, mind over matter and put your mind to something, very, very similar. Both of them have this meaning of forcing yourself to do something, willing yourself to do something no matter how hard it gets. Now, it could be a physical activity like mind over matter, or it could be something else. Let's say that you really want to become a doctor and you know it's going to take years of study. You know it's going to be very difficult to do, but you want to do it. You can say that you're going to put your mind to it. And when you become a doctor, your friends and family might say, you really put your mind to it. That means that you were determined. You had a goal, you stayed with that goal, and you achieved your goal. So maybe you are going to put your mind to learning English this year. Like I said, mind over matter and putting your mind to something very similar both mean that you are very determined that you're going to reach that goal. It's just that mind over matter usually has to do with physical things like running a marathon, joining the military, something along those lines. Putting your mind to something could be a physical thing, but more often it's more with just being determined and working towards a goal. Now, when you are trying to reach your goal, you are bearing your goal in mind. Bear in mind means to remember something, to keep the thought at the front of your brain, as we would say, which means to always be thinking of a particular thought. So when you bear something in mind, you're thinking about it or you're remembering it when you're taking particular actions. So bear is an animal. We usually think of an animal when we think of a bear, but that's not what this is referring to in this particular idiom. What we're saying here is that you're carrying something. So another meaning for the word bear is to carry. And that's where this comes from. In the 16th century, this idiom became popular because bear at that time was a more common word that meant to carry something. And so to bear something in mind just meant to keep it in mind, to carry that thought with you in your brain. You will hear this one when people are trying to give advice to someone. So, for example, let's say you and your friends are going on a trip for the weekend. You can tell your friends, bear in mind, it's going to rain, so bring appropriate clothing. Bear in mind just means is a fancy way of saying, remember, It's going to rain this weekend, so make sure to bring an umbrella. Make sure to bring clothing for the rain. That would be what that means. So bear in mind, it's just a fancy way of saying, hey, remember this. Take this into consideration when you're trying to make your decision or do a particular action. Let's say you're trying to train for a marathon. You're going to bear that in mind when you're making your training plan. You know when your particular date is that you need to run a marathon by. You're going to have that influence what your training plan looks like. You're going to bear the marathon date in mind. And so that's going to influence what you're doing now. You're going to take that into consideration when you're making your training plan. Our next one is to read someone's mind. Read, think of like reading a book and then someone's mind. This means that you are able to tell what someone is thinking. So think of a psychic. You go to a psychic. If they can read your mind, that means that they can tell you what you're thinking. You might also hear this if you're watching any Halloween movies or TV shows, if there's a psychic character or if there's some type of paranormal character, they might be able to read someone's mind. Or you think of the X-Men, if you're a superhero fan, you've got a lot of psychics like Charles Xavier, people who can read other people's minds. The history of this phrase did come from the 19th century when psychics and telepathy were very popular, a lot in popular culture. So telepathy is reading someone's mind. That's the official name for it. And because it was very popular at the time, this phrase started being used and it's still used today. So an example of this, let's say you are sitting with your significant other, your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, or wife, whomever, and you're starting to get hungry. You're starting to think, hey, maybe I want to have some pizza. But you don't say that out loud. You don't say anything out loud. You're just thinking it in your brain and thinking it to yourself. And then your significant other looks at you and says, I think we should get pizza for dinner. You can respond and say, you read my mind. You didn't tell them that you wanted pizza, but they just happened to say the same thing that you were thinking. And that would be an example of a time where you could say, you read my mind. Another example, let's say you're at a party with that same significant other and you're starting to get a little bit tired, a little bit bored, and you want to leave. They might look at you and say, hey, let's get out of here. Let's leave. You can again say, you read my mind. And our last idiom is to blow someone's mind. Blow someone's mind is when just something crazy, unexpected, amazing, or astonishing happens. Something that's really abnormal and just spectacular, right? Above the normal, this crazy event that happens. Blow someone's mind became popular in the 1960s and has its origin in some drug use at the time. In the 1960s, a lot of people were using illegal substances and they would have these experiences where they would see things and hear things that weren't there. That was being referred to as having their mind blown, that these substances were blowing their mind because they were seeing and hearing things that were not there. I know that kind of sounds like a bad thing, but over the years, this phrase has just really become more positive and is usually referring to something that's actually a good thing now. So if something really good happens that you weren't expecting, you can say that it blew your mind. So, for example, we've gone through these different idioms and sayings on this podcast. And if you've learned something and you found it really amazing and exciting, you can say that this podcast episode blew your mind. Blew your mind, blowing someone's mind is one of the structures that you can use. I've already said a few seconds ago that you can also just say that something is mind-blowing. You can say this podcast episode blew your mind, or you can say this podcast episode was mind-blowing. Let's do an example here. Let's say you go and see some big movie in July, some superhero movie. So you go and see one of these movies, and there's a lot of special effects, a lot of fight scenes, a lot of super cool moves that the characters are doing. Afterwards, you can say that the special effects were amazing. They were mind-blowing. Or you can say these special effects blew my mind. Both of those things would mean the same thing, that the special effects were even better than you expected. They were really great. They beat your expectations. And so they were mind-blowing special effects, or the special effects blew my mind. Both of those would be correct. Both of those are ways that you could phrase this. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you learned a little bit about some idioms that have to do with the mind. There are a lot more idioms. I just picked a few that I use personally, a few that I hear more often, but there's a lot more. So if you enjoyed this episode, if you liked it and you're watching on YouTube, please leave a comment. Tell me if you learned some new idioms, try using them in a sentence yourself, or tell me if you want more episodes like this. There's so many more idioms I could do with the mind. Trust me, the list is so long. There's just idioms in general about other things I could talk about, but I don't know if you like these episodes. So please let me know and tell me what you think and what you want to learn more about. The entire purpose of this is really to try to help you build your English vocabulary, to be able to understand native speakers, and also start using these idioms yourself in conversation. To help you reach that goal, please look at the vocabulary list in the podcast description of this episode. I do them for all of the episodes so that way you can take these words, these phrases, and start learning them and really building your English vocabulary. If this podcast is helping you, if you're enjoying the podcast, if you like listening to these episodes, please consider leaving a rating on whatever app you are using to listen to this podcast on. You can also tell a friend. Tell a family member, tell someone who is learning English about this podcast so we can continue to grow our audience. A reminder that you can follow us on social media at Learn English Pod. The website is learnenglishpod.com. And remember to like and subscribe so you don't miss our next episode when it comes out next week. Until then, keep learning English.